You'll be glad to know there's no bucket, there's no water, there's no towel. But we are going to look at that occasion when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. So if you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 13, or bring your Bible verses up on your phones or tablets or whatever, please do. Starting at verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "unless I wash you, you'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those that have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said everyone was clean. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." I wonder how you feel about feet. Yours and those that belong to other people. Maybe you think feet are one of your greatest assets. They're a thing of beauty. They're a thing of wonder. Maybe you find them ugly, you find them smelly, and you find them a bit disgusting. In terms of our own feet, actually many of us feel quite embarrassed about our feet. We hate them, and we don't want others to see them. And I don't feel as strongly about that with regard to my own feet, but I do have a bit of an aversion to other people's feet. Quite simply put, I don't like them. And those of you that know me well know that I absolutely adore shoes. And there is a part of me that to be in a shoe shop is like being the second place, best place to heaven. However, I could never work in a shoe shop because I'd have to touch people's feet. So, you can imagine my response a few years ago when my senior minister said, "Great idea. Everyone on the leadership team this evening is going to wash the whole congregation's feet." And I just thought, no, I can't touch their feet. But the evening came, and I was a minister, and I had to do it. I had no choice. And because I was a female minister, it was quite nice, because a lot of the ladies came to me. Until one didn't, as in a man came. And the man that came to me was an older man, and he was a single man. He still lived at home with his mother, and I would describe him as being somebody who was a little bit socially awkward. And he came to where I was with my bowl and my warm water and my towel, And I just thought, no, Lord, not those feet. As he took off his shoes and his socks, I was the one that was incredibly socially awkward because I just didn't want to touch his feet. And then something happened. As he put his feet into the water, and I knew that I had got to stop, I'd got to start washing them, God worked in me. And first of all, as I looked at his feet, I wondered who else had actually looked at his feet before. And then my thoughts went deeper than that. I wondered who had ever touched those feet before. And in that moment, God started to do something quite holy, and it was quite humbling, because here was I, as this man's minister, having the privilege of touching his feet. God challenged me over my initial response, and it was an honor. It was an honor to wash his feet, and it changed the way I see this story of Jesus washing feet. As I said in that moment, Lord, not his, I was confronted with something that is really amazing in this story, and it's found in verse 3. John says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. And what John is telling us is that Jesus knew who he was, and Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew his identity. And it was the freedom in knowing who he was and what he was to do that all of the expectations of his family and of his culture, all of the expectations of his friends and everything about what was good and right and proper of that day was released from him, and he was free to follow the unique plan that God had for his life. And I knelt at this man's feet, and it was at that place I was confronted with my prejudices, and I was confronted with one of my hang-ups. And I had to bring what I was feeling, and I had to bring what I was thinking, and I had to bring what I had to do before God. And this gave me the courage to do things differently. Bringing my prejudices and bringing my hang-ups to God helped me to serve this man differently by washing his feet. And in that moment, I think I understood something of what it meant to love somebody by serving them. And this is what Jesus wants us to learn to do. But I think in this story, there is something else that Jesus wants us to learn as well. He wants us to learn how to love by serving others, but also to recognize that serving lovingly means that we have to learn how to be served as well. When Jesus picked up his feet washing equipment, the disciples objected. This was the most menial of tasks that anybody had to do. Primarily, I think, because it was a pretty grubby job to do. Roads in Palestine were dusty, and nobody wore socks or stockings, and so people wouldn't even necessarily be wearing sandals or shoes. So people's feet got really dirty. And of course, there'd be all sorts of nasties on the ground. And so people's feet would pick up parasites and other infections. It wasn't a very nice job to do. But foot washing was always part of entering a house, and it was good manners for a host to wash the feet of the guests or to ask one of the servants to do that. And if people had a number of servants, it was always the lowest servant, maybe the youngest, the one that was in the lowest pecking order, that would be asked to wash feet, even though it was such an important part of a host's hospitality towards their guests. Now, I've never been to Palestine, so I don't know fully what the roads are like there, but I have been to Bangladesh. When I had a sabbatical a few years ago, I spent a couple of weeks out there, and that's a really dusty city. And in the slums that I was visiting, there were open drains and so on and so forth. And so I was very careful to wear kind of covered shoes for all of the reasons that foot washing in Palestine was not the most pleasant job. And even though I'd got sensible covered shoes on, I'd get back to the nice clean apartment that I was staying in, and the first thing I would do would be to wash and to moisturise my feet and check them to just be sure that nothing unpleasant had perhaps wiggled its way in. And towards the end of my visit, the lady that I was staying with, she had a birthday, and as a gift, some of her friends got together, and they suggested that we went to some little beauty place, and we had a pedicure. And I just went, oh no, I can't cope with a stranger who I can't even converse with touching my feet. I was horrified at the idea that these grubby, disgusting, horrible feet would be exposed. But after an hour of soaking and scrubbing, I was converted. Oh, it was such a wonderful experience. It was fantastic. But my initial reaction was that of fear of somebody touching my feet and absolute shame at the poor offering I'd got at the end of my legs. It really felt wrong. It really felt wrong for me. And I don't know whether Peter felt shame or fear when Jesus got down from the table and started to wash feet. But for Peter, it definitely, definitely felt wrong. No, you can't do this. It was such a menial task. And their teacher, his teacher, shouldn't be the one to do this. And then Jesus explains, if Peter wants to be part of what Jesus is doing, he must accept his feet being washed. And then Peter says, well, then give me washing all over. I'm all in. I'm all in. And Jesus then had to explain that that wasn't really the point of what he was doing either. But there's something else that Jesus wanted Peter to get. And that was, Peter, stop telling me what to do. First of all, Peter says what he can't do, and then Peter says what he must do. And Jesus is saying, no. Be obedient to me. Jesus wants Peter to notice what obedience looks like. It's about receiving as well as serving. It's about serving as well as receiving. And obedience in receiving and obedience in doing likewise to others is the proof of love. Now, I know some of us in this room will be really good at serving other people. Maybe we're not so good at being on the receiving end. Others of us aren't very good at serving. We actually would quite like to be served. And I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up and declare which group you might feel in, that you feel that you sit in, because that wouldn't be fair. But what I do want to say is, whether we're brilliant at serving but no good at being served, or whether we're brilliant at being served and not much cop at serving, both are really faulty ways of us seeing ourselves. Both reflect a faulty way of thinking of our identity and who we are, because both position ourselves in a senior place to Jesus rather than submitting to him. We must learn to receive from him, And sometimes that means receiving from others as well as serving those that we meet. And maybe even the right order is that we actually have to learn to receive before we can properly give. Jesus is showing us the importance of us understanding who we are. You see, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, not in a moment did he forget who he was. He didn't forget in a moment that he was God. He washed their feet because he was God. And he wished to act as God. That's why he did it. And so when Jesus says at the end of this event, "Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." He's inviting us to remember who we are and to act accordingly. So who are we? The Bible, I think, is really clear on this one. Whether we have faith or whether we don't, every single human being, the Bible tells us, is created in the image of God. And that means every single human being is to be treated with dignity, is to be treated with respect, and to be treated with worth. This applies to how we behave towards ourselves and how we behave towards others. It applies to how we behave towards those we come across, whoever they are, as well as how we respect ourselves. Just notice what John tells us at the beginning of the story, though. The evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. John wants us to notice something there. What does he want us to notice? That is Judas. Judas was sitting in that room. And as Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he washed Judas's feet as well. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. But Jesus recognized and saw in Judas, here was a man who was made in the image of God. And despite what Judas was going to do, Jesus washed his feet simply because he was made in God's image. And made in God's image, he deserved the same dignity, he deserved the same respect, and he deserved the same love as all of the other disciples that sat at that table. Nothing that Judas could do would change the fact he was a man created in the image of God. You see, Jesus wants us to recognize what perfect love looks like. It's about doing what Jesus did because of whose image we are made in, rather than whether we do and live good. Jesus asks his disciples, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" Because he wants them to understand how his followers should serve and how his followers are to be served. He wanted them to understand this, and I think he wants us to understand this too. This is how we should see other people, and this is how we should see ourselves. We're no more worthy or unworthy of being served than the next person. And the next person is neither too worthy or too unworthy to be served by us. If we're followers of Jesus, we take his lead. He wants us to understand that we need to be willing not only to serve, but also to be served with the same sense of identity that Jesus had when he washed his friends' dusty and dirty feet. And I'm really aware this morning that we're going to have all sorts of feelings and reactions to the news that I started this morning with. We're going to have views and we're going to have opinions. We're going to maybe speculate and we're going to maybe show empathy and have compassion. And we're not going to be unaffected by what is going on because we're family and because we're a community. But you know, as we journey together and as we process our thinking and our feelings and as we show love and as we're impacted, because many of us have stories of poor mental health that impacts us, whether it's directly or there are people that we love and we know, can I encourage us as church family, if we are going to love perfectly, we remember that every single human being is made in the image of God. And therefore, whether we think similarly or whether we think differently, whether we behave similarly, whether we behave differently, whether we process and feel things similarly or whether we process and feel things differently, can I encourage us to show one another the same dignity and respect and love that Jesus did when he washed Judas's feet. What a teacher. What a teacher. And if we're to be obedient, we will do the same. That doesn't mean that we all have to strip off our shoes and socks and wash people's feet. Because Jesus, when he said do the same, wasn't saying foot washing has now got to become some ritual that we do week in, week out. What he's talking about is the way that we serve, the way that we see one another, the way we respond to one another, especially when we're not always on the same page. When I had to wash that gentleman's feet a number of years ago, for me what got challenged was an unhealthy view of one of God's kids. And what got challenged in me was that unhealthy view of who I was too. I had to exercise huge discipline in dropping my desires, my prejudices, my memories, my projections, my selective way of looking. And I had to let God flash a moment of awareness into my soul. He had to flash an awareness into my motives, into my emotions, into my needs, into my dishonesty. I'm a minister. I'm not willing to wash your feet. My self-seeking, I'm above that. Ooh. And also my tendency to manipulate and control. So this morning, the question is really simple. Do you know who you are? You're one of God's kids, as is the person sitting next to you, as is the person sitting behind you and in front of you. And that means each and every one holds the same value that demands dignity, love, and respect. So some of us will be better at serving, and some of us will be better at being served. I just want to encourage you this morning that God wants us to become better at both. Better at both because we submit ourselves to following in the footsteps of Jesus, following in the actions of Jesus, following in the thought processes of Jesus, in the way in which we see both ourselves and those around us. So some questions for reflection. When and why are you better at serving than being served, if you're one of our servers. When and why are you better at being served if you're one of those that likes to be served? And this morning, I wonder, where is Jesus calling us to follow him? And we'll just have some time to reflect on those questions, to let God speak to us, and enjoy holy moments as he confronts us, not to tell us off, but to cause us to become finer human beings because we're following the way our Master has asked us to walk. Bless you.